Well, we're in the book of Proverbs today, once again. For those who don't know, the September, making it family month, and we're nearly at the end of September, but we aren't quite finished the family month. Next week will be the last message, so we have to come back again next week, like the footballers, to finish things off. And slip that in somehow. It's like the elections. You just never know the results when you thought you would. But in the book of Proverbs. And we'll start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come and worship you. And Lord, come, I pray, with an open heart and a soft heart to hear your word, hear what you have for us today. And I pray that, Lord, as the word is opened and read and explained, that, Father, we would allow your Spirit to minister to us, guide us, and that, Father, we would, Lord, be willing to learn and to listen and to obey you this day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Usually when you do a series on the family, although you don't see this physically, I'm assuming it happens where when you look at the fathers and the husbands, I sort of picture all you men there, please, I don't want to know any more, don't tell me. You know, that's the feeling you get. Then when you get to the mothers and the wives, it sort of feels like you're sitting there, so what are you going to say? You know, like, you're saying I'm like that? You know, and you can get rather scary when you're talking to the mothers and the wives. But once you get over that hurdle and you get to looking at the children, it seems like mum and dad are very keen to come to church and make sure your children are listening today, and they want you to, you make sure you sit and you listen today, and this is for the children, and they hear that usual message about children obey your parents. Now that's all well and good, and we will be looking at that today, but something I think we often forget is our responsibility to our parents even as adults. The Ten Commandments, we're told that we are to honour our father and our mother. Now, does that mean once you hit 18, or once you leave home, or once you get married, you don't have to worry about all that anymore? You don't have to honour them anymore. When we're told to honour our parents, it's true. One aspect of that is to obey your mother and father when you're under their authority while living at home. But honouring goes much further than just that. Jesus actually rebuked the Pharisees because their customs and their traditions were making it possible to transgress this commandment of God. And so adults were actually disobeying this commandment to honour their father and their mother. It wasn't the children, the little children doing this. This were the adults doing this. And so Jesus rebuked them severely for that. And so there are certain expectations that God has upon all of us when it comes to honouring our parents. And so although what we're going to discover here in the book of Proverbs is primarily for children under the care and under the authority of their parents, if you have a mother or a father who is still alive, well then, don't think you can sit back today and think, oh, well, this is for the children. I can blur out and think about the footy for a while and who's going to win next week or whatever it is. And this doesn't apply to me. Because if you have a mother or father that is still alive, well, then there are certainly some things that you can learn today. So you can assume your usual positions, men. You can put your hands up. Please don't tell me anything. Ladies, you can cross your arms and you say, I'm like this. And we can start looking at what the Lord has for us in regards to children. And as we do look at this, I might, even though I refer to father and son, that doesn't mean I'm not talking about mothers and daughters as well, right? It just saves me having to go through the whole process every time we mention it. But we're going to be looking at the wise son today. A couple of verses to start with. Proverbs 17:21 says, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. And then in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, we read, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And there is no denying that children can make their parents sad or glad. My children can bring me great joy, but they can also make me very sad. And I know that as they grow up and they become adults, I don't believe that's going to change. I'm sure that the sadness that they can bring and the gladness that they can bring isn't going to cease once they leave home, and then regardless of what they do, it's not going to bother me one little bit. I'm sure it doesn't cease. I'm sure to the very day that I die or they die, they have the capacity to make me very sad or very glad. I'm very well aware that as the child of Graham and Edith Mitchell, I can still have the capacity to hurt them if I want. If I don't show them honour, if I treat them poorly, I can hurt them terribly. I'm very well aware of that. Because they love the Lord, I know that if I were to forsake the Lord, I could hurt them terribly. I know even as a 43-year-old, if I do something terrible and despicable, they too have to wear the shame because I'm their child. And so I can still hurt them, and I can certainly make them rejoice as well. Now let's come down to reality of life though, and that is, the truth be told, you're not always going to be able to make your parents glad. Sometimes you're going to make them sad. Sometimes their expectations of you are just unrealistic for starters, or they expect you to live a certain way, or they expect you to treat them a certain way, or they want you to go a direction that you just don't want to go. And it may not be an issue of right or wrong, it's just what they would like you to do, and you have other desires, and so you're going to make them sad, and you can't avoid that. If your parents are unsaved and you decide to follow the Lord and to obey His word above all things, there will be times you make them sad as well. Sometimes parents act foolishly. Can you believe that? Even parents can be selfish and foolish. And when that is the case, you're going to have to treat your parents in ways that they're not going to enjoy. And yes, you're going to make them sad as well. So we can't avoid making parents sad at times, but there is one reason we as children should never bring sorrow to our parents, and that is by acting foolishly in the sight of God. That's one thing we should avoid. Depending on what your parents believe, you may not be able to avoid being foolish in their eyes, but we should always be wise children in the sight of God. He's the one that's going to be judging us on that judgment day if we had honoured our parents or not. And so we would do well to make sure that we are obeying him in this area. And Proverbs tells us a number of ways that we ought to be acting if we are to be wise children. And this is what we should be: wise sons, wise daughters, children that do not bring sorrow to our parents' heart due to sinful behaviour. That is of an abomination against God. And so that's what we're going to consider this morning. First thing I want us to notice is a wise son listens to instructions. Just didn't want them to miss that. Wise sons listens to instructions. Proverbs 13:1. I told Josh and Rob they need to listen hard today. You listening? Okay. Proverbs 13:1 says, "A wise son heareth his father's instructions, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." And then we have it in reverse order where it says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5, "A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." And so we're told here the wise son hears his father's instructions, but a foolish son doesn't listen to his father's instructions. And I can't remember when I was a little child, but I have no doubt that I was exactly the same. But as a father, I did discover very early in my children's lives how that children don't like receiving instruction. They think they know best. They think that they know how to do things. They don't need your help. They don't need you to explain. They can do it all themselves. I discovered that as early as when it came time to building towers with those big blocks. You know, I could build big towers, strong towers, high towers, but do you think that they wanted my help? No, Dad, I can do it all myself. And very early as a father, I discovered that carnal streak within every child where they don't like being told, where they think that they know better than everybody else. And I discovered how that carnal streak is in the heart of every single child. We've all got it. We don't like being told. The scary thing is when somebody still has that as a teenager or even as an adult, where they still despise their father's instructions, where they still think that he's a fool, where they still think they know better than their parents as well, and that their opinion is ridiculous and they don't take it into consideration. When you have a teenager and even going into adulthood and they still have that same despising of their parents, that is someone that is going to bring a great deal of sorrow to their parents' heart. We're told here in this proverb, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. The word hear there isn't just hearing the word spoken. It has to do with obedience upon hearing. You hear what is said and you actually do what is said. And that can be applied in many aspects of everyday life. Your father explains how to do something and you accept that and you follow his instructions. You actually learn from your father. Your father says something's dangerous and you believe him and you stay away from it. Father tells you to do something and you do it. You obey. You don't argue about it. Your father says that this is evil and wrong and it's going to cause you a lot of sorrow. And even though it doesn't make sense, you believe what he's saying and you stay away from those things. That's how a wise son acts. But we learn here that the foolish son does the complete opposite. The fool despiseth his father's instructions. Despise means to scorn or to laugh at. Or even worse still, to abhor. You'd absolutely hate his instructions. The foolish son hears his father explaining how to do something, but he argues with him about it, thinking that he knows better. He's warned that something's dangerous, but he doesn't listen and continues the same way. His father tells him to do something and he disobeys. He doesn't want to obey his father's instructions. He explains that something is evil and wrong and going to cause him a lot of trouble, but the foolish son refuses to listen and continues on the same path. That's how the foolish son acts. Young people, just listening to that. What category do you find yourself in? The foolish child or the wise child? Understand, when your parents have to argue with you about everything, when your mother or father tells you to do something but you don't want to do it, when you don't believe what they're telling you, understand that that puts you as a foolish child. And God's word tells us here that that's how you make your parents sad. That's how you grieve their heart and you make life hard for them in the fact that they see you not acting the way that God wants you to act. But even us adults, on the basis of just these two simple proverbs, where do you put yourself when it comes to as a child, as growing up? Were you a wise child or a foolish one? Is there some apologizing you need to do to your parents? I know when I hit around the 20, and praise God that he did a wonderful work in my life, I realised I had to go back and apologise to my parents for the way that I treated them. I realised I was a foolish child. Maybe there's some apologising. What about now? It's true that, you know, as you're an adult, you're not under the authority of your parents, but God does tell us, as a wise child, we are to honour our parents. I don't believe that ceases after you hit 18. Question is, do you listen to what your parents have to say, or are they too afraid to even give you any advice just in case they're going to get their head bitten off? Unfortunately, I'm guessing that's what happens oftentimes when your children grow up. I believe if you can't at least give them the respect of allowing them the opportunity to help you, or at least allowing them to give you some advice I don't believe you're showing them the honour that they deserve. I don't believe that's what you call honouring your parents. They should at least feel like they have the liberty to share things that are a burden upon their heart. Now, as adults, you have the liberty to choose if you're going to take that advice or not. But I do believe it's worth giving them the honour of listening to what they have to say. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. You know, as it says in chapter 15, verse 5, I think it goes even deeper than just listening to what your parents have to say. It says here, a fool despiseth, that is, rejects or rebels against his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. That word reproof there is chastisement or correction. And the picture that we get here from this proverb is, get the picture that the father tells the child that something is wrong and you shouldn't do it, and the child goes out and does it. And so what does the father do? Out of love, he chastises or reproves his child. Chastises him, but what does the child do? He doesn't listen or retain that reproof within his heart, but he goes out and does the exact same thing again. That, my friend, is a foolish child. Yes, you may not listen and you may do what you shouldn't be doing, but even when you're chastised for it, you go out and do it again. That is a very foolish child. In fact, it's a rebellious child now. New Testament commands children to obey their parents. The opposite of that is to disobey your parents. That is rebellion. A wise child obeys, a foolish child disobeys. And if you wonder if God takes rebellion as a child seriously or not, turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. We'll just jump out of Proverbs, just briefly. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. When the Lord was setting up the laws of the land as Israel became a nation, this was one of the laws that he implemented concerning rebellious children and disobedient children for the nation of Israel. That doesn't mean that we are to take this upon ourselves now. It's not a law for Australia, but it was a law for the nation of Israel. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them. So this is what we get from Proverbs. Being told not to do something, they go out and do it, so they get chastened, and then they go out and do it again. What are they to do? Verse 19, then shall the father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and under the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. I wonder how many of us would be here today if we were living at this time. You know, today you hear parents say, do I need to get the spoon? I guess in those days, do I need to take you to the elders? And then if you really wanted to give them a fight, come on, we're going to the elders, you know. I think that'd quickly change their tune about what you want them to do. But what we see here very clearly is God's attitude towards rebellious children. And we see here that he doesn't take it lightly. He doesn't say, it doesn't matter, let him go. No, he is serious about this. This is serious stuff. And in Proverbs chapter 30, if you'd like to turn there, we have this rebellious child described to us. And if you look at any rebellious child, you will see these characteristics in them. And I think it's very good for all of us to see if there are traces of rebellion in us even. This describes a rebellious child. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11, it says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. And so the first characteristic is that they hate their father and they don't bring blessing to their mother. Goes on in verse 12 and says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. And so these people think that what they're doing is fine. There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. It's all right. They won't admit they're wrong or they're doing wrong. Verse 13, there is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. And so we see here that they are proud. They don't think they need anyone or want anyone. They are high in their own opinions. Verse 14, there is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among them. Here we see that they are cruel. They are cruel people. The way they speak to their parents, the way they speak to others, they're not kind, they're cruel and evil. And then in the next two verses, the writer explains how these people are never satisfied. They are like the blood-sucking leech. They are like the grave. They are like the barren womb. They are like the land that is barren as well and needs water. And they are like fire. They are never satisfied. Rebellious children are extremely selfish and very greedy. It says there in verse 15, the horse leech hath two daughters crying, give me, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, the fire that saith not, it is enough. And then it goes on, back to the theme here of children, in verse 17 it says, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. This is describing the rebellious child. Now, if you want to discover the wise child, you just need to look at the opposite to this. And we discover that the wise child thanks his father and mother and loves his father and mother and appreciates his parents. He doesn't curse them. The wise child acknowledges their sin and admits when they've done something wrong. He doesn't try and cover up and say that he's not doing anything wrong. The wise child humbles himself and admits he needs help. He's not proud. The wise child's kind and gentle and thoughtful. And you know, if you've got a child that has a soft soul and is kind to others, praise God for that. When you've got a cruel and a mean child, understand there is rebellion within that heart. And a wise child is content and satisfied, thankful for what the parents have done. So that's the difference between the rebellious child and the wise child. And the scary thing, particularly for those who have much to do with teenagers, is you, as you discover the teenagers in our community and in our land that we live, unfortunately, it's very hard to see the wise child described in so many of them. Sadly, it is the rebellious child. There is many rebellious, foolish children. They are a generation who curse their father and don't bless their mother. And that's why you have so many sad families today and heartbroken parents. A wise son listens to his father and mother's instructions. The rebel doesn't. And that's the first thing that Proverbs tells us. The second thing that I want us to notice is a wise son has wise friends. Turn over to Proverbs 28, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. There is no doubt that friends can influence a person. There's no denying that. If someone is surrounded by evil people, they are bombarded by evil conversation, evil things, well then they will slowly become like their surroundings. That is why it's ever so essential and wise to pick good friends, godly friends, wise friends who will build you up. No denying that. But sometimes, maybe even a lot of times, I think wrong friends are a way for parents to excuse their own child's rebellious heart. Instead of using their choice of friends as an indicator to what their heart is like. You know, we know the saying, birds of a feather flock together. And I saw this, I saw this in action so much when it came to youth camps. You know, you can have 70 to 100. Even once I remember running a camp that had 130 teenagers, and they come from all different youth groups around the place. And it's amazing how they come together. Most of them haven't met each other, and within a day, the rebels find each other. They have these little groups of rebels. They don't know each other from a bar of soap prior to that, but they're just drawn to one another. And I would just sit back in amazement. How do they find each other so quickly? It's incredible. Now, the scary thing is, if your child is drawn to rebels, that is a cause for alarm. That is usually an indication of their heart. I hear parents, they take their children out of a school because that children has a lot of bad children and they're just influencing my little boy way too much. They're leading him astray. And there's no doubt sometimes that has to happen. You know, that's probably the best thing for them. But the sad thing is they take them out of that school and they put them in that another school, and then they gravitate to all the rebels in that school as well. And sadly, for many parents, what they do is they would rather blame other people's children for leading their little good boy astray when they should be realizing that they have a rebellious, stubborn, foolish child themselves. And what they ought to be working on is actually his soul and his attitude towards the Lord. They'd rather blame everyone else's child. It's interesting it's interesting the word companion here in this verse, 28 verse 7. It says, "He that is a companion of righteous men, shameth his father." You know, the word companion there means to graze. You get the picture of sheep finding a nice paddock and feeding upon that paddock, or grazing on a paddock together. They're both attracted to the same pasture. They both like the same grazing place. And although children can follow someone to the wrong paddock or wrong place and be influenced by those around them, which we call peer pressure, often what happens is the child is drawn to a certain paddock, an evil paddock, and they find others feeding there as well. And that's how they find their companions. Others like the same sinful things that they like. And that's why there is companionship. And you see that with young people today all the time. When people have common interests, they are drawn together. It may be a common interest in music, or a style of music. It might be a common interest in some sort of dress sense, and that's why you have the mobs of goths just hanging around each other. Believe me, that is a condition of their soul. They all have a rebellious soul within them, and that's why they find themselves gravitating towards one another. It could be a common interest in drug taking or strange women or drunkenness or parties and nightclubs, whatever it is. But a foolish son has a foolish heart and is drawn to sinful places, and there they find other friends. Or they find people that enjoy heading to the same pastures as what they want to head. And that's why you have the rebels coming together at a youth camp. That's why they seem to gravitate. They like the same things. But the wise child wants to graze godly paddocks. You know, they love the Lord. They love God's word. They want to be where God wants them to be. They love godly music. They love godly conversations. And sadly, the reality is sometimes they're forced to graze alone, particularly in schools today. Nobody wants those pastures. Who wants to have clean conversations? Who wants to have godly music? Who wants to have those godly things in their life? They don't want those pastures, so they're not interested. But praise God when you find a flock or a bunch of young people who want to graze on those godly pastures. They're the companions to have. And I believe you seek godly pastures and the wise friends will follow to those same pastures as well. And sadly, the reality is sometimes young people are forced to graze alone. And young people that are here, think of yourself from school, think of school, or think of the friends that you may have, and ask yourself, who do you choose to spend time with? Do you find you gravitate towards the mean ones? Probably shows what your heart's like. Do you find that you gravitate towards the proud ones or the ones that want to be disobedient to the teachers? That shows what's in your heart. Do you find that you want to hang around maybe ones that will tell the dirty jokes and be a bit filthy? That shows what your heart's like if you're drawn towards that. It's the same for us adults as well. Who do we find comfortable being around? The proud, the cruel, filthy in words and deeds, the drunkards? When that is the case, we need to see it for what it is, and that is foolishness in our heart. We need to seek to be wise, and then seek wise friends as well. Otherwise, all your life you will bring shame to your parents. I don't believe it matters how old you are, you will bring shame to your parents. As it says here, he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. Shame means to blush, or to wound, or to hurt. There is a certain amount of shame a foolish child brings to their parents. And you know, I can tell you with all shame, I was one of them. And I know that the thing that hurt me the most and I hated the most about myself was the shame I brought my parents. They didn't deserve that. They were godly. And you know, to see my mother cry because of the mean things I said to her, or to see the embarrassment on their face when their son and what he was doing was talked about. That's what hurt me the most. And that's a shame to me. But as much as a son can bring shame to parents, also a son or a child can bring joy or pride to a parent. And you know, I'm 43 years old, so I'm classed as getting into the old-ish stage now. I know I'm not there yet, but I'm heading there. But I tell you, even at my age, when I receive a birthday card or a Christmas card, when my parents write, "Alan, we are very proud of you. We thank the Lord for you." I love reading that because I knew there was a lot of years that they weren't able to write that. Doesn't matter what age you are, you can bring shame and sorrow or gladness to your parents while they are alive. And if you want to make your parents proud, young people or adults, then keep good company and be wise. And you know, there's one other thing that, there's plenty of others, but there is one other I want to look at just briefly. And it's found in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5, it says this: "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." A wise son is not lazy. You know, this proverb sets the picture of a family home with, I'm guessing, a small farm, and there are certain responsibilities that need to be done on that farm. And the wise son gets in and does his part, while the foolish son is too lazy to help. Now, I know apart from maybe Lynn, there are not most of us have like a bit of a farm where we need children to get out there and help with us in that regards. But we all have homes with responsibilities that need to be done in order for the home to be a functioning household. And there's the washing and the ironing and the dirty dishes and the cooking and the cleaning and the mowing and the gardens and the repairs around the place, and the list could go on. And a foolish son or a lazy child thinks that their responsibility is go to school, eat, drink, watch a bit of TV, and everything else is for mum and dad. That's the lazy or the sluggard. But the wise child cleans their room. They're not a sluggard. Tidies up after themselves. Don't expect others to do it. They don't moan and complain when they're asked to do something around the house. They don't dodge all the jobs. They don't expect to just be served, but they also understand they need to serve. And so a wise son or a wise daughter is a blessing, actually, to have around the house. They help around the house. They do the things to make things happen. As it says here, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Now, from my experience, though, parents, the reality is very few children are naturally like this. Pity, but they're not. That's why I believe God told us, train up a child in the way they should go. Not in the way they will naturally go, but in the way that they should go. And unless the parents train the children to help around the house and to clean up after themselves and be willing to be a part of a functioning household, they won't do that on their own initiative. I have yet to see just one of these little tackers come and make a big mess in the house, and the mother starts cleaning it up and the little tacker says, "No, no, no, Mum, it's okay. I made the mess. I'll clean it up for you." That doesn't happen, does it, ladies? Dads. Us dads, too. We have to train them to do those sort of things. Now, at what age? You can work that out. I'm not telling you that. But you need to train them. And we see here, if you never train them, the natural bent will be to laziness. And we have to guard against that. Or you may be older and your son sleeping away in harvest time while you're out doing all the work. I love my neighbour down the street, two doors down. He's a perfectionist when it comes to all his little garden area. He has a 15, 16-year-old son, and we drive off to school and he's there with a bucket picking up all the leaves. He makes him pick up all the leaves in the afternoon. He's picking up the leaves as well. And we'd wave to him in the car and he'd... I remember saying to Alicia, "See, look at him. These children go out and pick up the leaves." And Alicia said, "Yeah, but look at how miserable he looks. Do you want us to be that miserable?" So maybe there's a balance there, but they're certainly not lazy children. You can be sure of that. But that's what we see here. A wise son listens to father's instructions. They don't despise. A wise son has wise friends, and a wise son is not lazy. And with 1 minute to spare, can I just, as in closing, turn our attention to our Heavenly Father. If you're a child of God, you have a Heavenly Father. Knowing what we see here in the book of Proverbs, could you be described, or would he describe you as a wise child or a foolish child? Do you listen to his instructions, or do you despise what God says to do? When he chastises you, do you actually change? Do you admit you've sinned, or do you just cover it up? Are you humble enough to accept that you need your Heavenly Father and you go to him for help and guidance? What type of company do you keep? Does your Heavenly Father see the people that you hang around and say, "That is foolishness and a shame to me"? And do you fulfill your responsibilities as a child of God? Where there is a harvest, There's a harvest in our community. There are things as a local church we could and we should be doing. Are you someone as a child of God who knows what God wants you to be doing and you are diligently serving Him? Or does He see you sleeping in the pews? You come out on a Sunday, have a little sleep, or you sit there and go home and do nothing else. Are you diligently serving? We do know that when the Son of God came to earth, God could not hold back, God the Father could not hold Himself back, but He had to open the heavens and reveal to the people, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He had a wise son. And brethren, if our Heavenly Father can't say that to us, I dare say our earthly Father couldn't either. All of these things, when it comes to laziness, when it comes to being rebellious, when it comes to wise friend, it all comes back to our submission to our Heavenly Father. When we submit to our Heavenly Father in our work ethics, to our friends, to our attitude to things, when we submit to Him, it will be evidence in our everyday life. And often, your attitude towards your parents is a direct reflection of the condition of your soul and your response to your Heavenly Father as well. And so, I trust that we will be wise children, all of us, regardless of what our age is. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You that You are the perfect Father. Lord, none of us have had a perfect father. All of us have parents that, Lord, are sinners and, Lord, have many faults. And we as parents have many faults as well. But thank You that we can rest in that security that we have a Father that is perfect, who reigns in heaven, who loves us dearly. And I pray that we would be those wise children before Your eyes, and that, Father, that those wise actions and that wise lifestyle will be evidenced in our everyday life towards our siblings, to our parents and friends. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.